The Spendthrift 80s, Part 10, Songs, 1988-1989. In 1988, Gloria Estefan and the Miami Sound Machine enjoyed their first number one smash, Anything for You, from the album Let It Loose. Cuban-born Estefan, who suffered a nearly paralyzing back injury in 1990 when her tour bus crashed in the Poconos, her spine is now held together with two 8-inch long stainless steel rods, was the first Hispanic pop singer to command broad popularity in North America. Fresh out of the University of Miami in 1978, Gloria joined the Miami Sound Machine, founded by Emilio Estefan, who soon became her husband. The group, blending pop and Latin rhythms, was known throughout the Spanish-speaking world before their hit Conga made the American top 10 in 1985. After 9 top 10 singles and 3 consecutive best-selling albums, Primitive Love, Let It Loose, and Cuts Both Ways, Newsday rated Gloria Estefan as the biggest Cuban-born pop star in the United States since Desi Arnaz. In Miami, with its nearly 60% Latin population, radio stations react to a new Estefan record as if it were the Beatles, said the editor of Trade Magazine Hits. No other act generates as much competition among stations to get a new single on the air first. Estefan was the daughter of Jose Fariardo, a Miami-based Cuban exile who joined in the 1961 Bay of Pigs invasion, the abortive attempt to buy fellow exiles to recapture their homeland from Fidel Castro. Captured in prison and then later released, he volunteered for service in the Vietnam War and died in 1980 from a degenerative neurological disease believed to have been caused by exposure to Agent Orange. As her popularity increased, Estefan began to deal explicitly with her Cuban heritage in her music, as in her early 90s hit Mama Yo Can't Go. The title itself captures the mixed vernacular often heard by second-generation Latinos. A crossover success, Estefan has recorded in all English, all Spanish, and in a hybrid of the two, Spanglish. The industry insiders predict she will be a megastar in the 90s, an event affecting not only her talent, but a trend in the country's demographics, in which Hispanics will continue to be the fastest-growing minority. In 1989, as the 80s turned into the 90s, pop music scene experienced several controversies. The rap group 2 Live Crew was taken to court on obscenity charges for lyrics in their album As Nasty As They Wanna Be that were deemed violent, lewd, and degrading to women. Would-be singers Rob Pilatus and Fab Morvan of Milli Vanilli were revealed to be lip-syncing puppets on their smash album Girl, You Know It's True, number 10 for 1989, which sold 10 million copies. Their German record producer, Frank Farian, had used studio singers and was planning the same ruse for the group's next album. It turned out the nearly penniless Pilatus and Morvan had been living in a Munich housing project when in 1988, Farian offered each of them $4,000 plus royalties to be visually striking, vocally silent Milli Vanilli. The boys accepted, and they later claimed that their record company, Arista, knew all along about the scam, which left millions of record-buying fans feeling sympathetic and at the same time duped. In 1990, a repentant Rob and Fab, arguing that in the age of vigorous rock videos, many performers resort to lip-syncing, were nonetheless forced to forfeit their 1989 Grammy for the Best New Artist of the Year. Perhaps no phenomena so uniquely altered the pop music scene in the late 80s and early 90s as hip-hop, better known as rap. Rapping began more than two decades earlier in a form of expression amongst jailed black inmates who, in the absence of instruments, turned poetic meter in the pulsating musical rhythm. The early rap heard in ghetto streets was abrasive and laced with hostility towards society in general and white culture in particular. Music and rap poetry had submerged by the 70s, and New York basement clubs, disco, disc jockeys kept dance rhythms uninterrupted by cutting back and forth between two records on two separate turntables. As they meshed sounds during instrumental stretches, they filled in the vocal silences with their own rhythm, chanting, or rapping. Depending on the DJ in the club, this filler could be incendiary or relatively benign. Rapping was a DJ's way of making himself a master of ceremonies, or MC, hence the initials used by many rap groups. For the evening, expanding his rap from his own self-promotion and also to egg dancers on, the term hip-hop is thought to have derived from the expression hippity hip-hop, don't stop. The rap group Public Enemy, formed by friends who met at a radio station in Long Island's Adelphi University, was the first act to publicly incorporate ghetto expressions of hostility into their own identity. They argued that every black youth was to society a public enemy and that their logo showed a young black man in a rifle sight. Their music spoke to a largely alienated sector of society who felt hated and despised. Bill Stefani, who produced Public Enemy's first album, observed that in the early days, you were considered a criminal if you just listened to rap records. Other groups selected names calculated to tease and at the same time caricature ghetto misbehavior. The initials of the platinum record-winning group NWA stands for Nigga with Attitude. In time, rap's infectious sound caught the ears of larger and larger audiences. With commercialism as the carrot, more and more rappers jettisoned hostility lyrics and off-putting names for mass appeal rhythms. Still bawdy and harsh, but at least not so intimidating as to be unmarketable to a wide audience. Others came to view rap as a way to be Afro-positive, itself an Afrocentric in expression. According to Billboard, about half a dozen groups helped to put rap in music's mainstream map. The highest rated albums through the end of the 80s were Run DMC's Raising Hell, 1986, LL Cool J, Bigger Than Differ, 1987, The Beastie Boys, License to Ill, 1987, Tone Loc's Locked After Dark, 1989. The two fastest-selling rappers of the 90s to date are Vanilla Ice and his album To the Extreme, and the phenomenal successful MC Hammer with Please Hammer, Don't Hurt Him, number one for 21 weeks in 1990. Whereas Public Enemy once rapped There's a Need to Get Alarmed, Again I Said I Was a Time Bomb, but 1991 there was soft rap and light rap, and Bart Simpson and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles creating the phenomena of tot rap, proving that in America anything is marketable given the right spin. And as always, I hope you enjoyed that. Don't forget to come by the website sumahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.